Happy Father's Day to all the dads today. We love you. Moms, thank you so much for making Father's Day so special. We know you play a part in it. And so anyway, today's going to be a good day. Anybody glad to be in church across all of our locations today? Hey, I'm honored to be here, honored to speak to you today. This is my third Father's Day in a row, actually. I have spoke here at Life Point, and so Pastor Daniel, I love you. Thank you each and every year for this opportunity. So blessed to be under your leadership. Thank you so much for how you lead and father us as a church. You're such a great, great pastor, and so we love you so very much. Well, hey, I do want to speak to all the dads in the room today, but not just all the dads. I want to speak to everyone in the room today, and I have a word that I feel like that God has for you to receive today, really a blessing, I believe, that God wants you to receive today, that if you're open to it and if you're willing to it, I believe, has the opportunity to really change your life forever. And so I am a dad myself. I have a two-year-old, and his name is Samuel, and he is a bundle of joy, and I love every minute of watching him grow up. But we just had a major milestone in my son's life, and as a parent, when you hear what this milestone is, you're going to be able to relate with me. But a few months ago, my son went on the big boy potty for the first time. Can I get an amen from the parents? If you're not a parent, you can't understand this, but if you are a parent, here's what you realize. That is the beginning of you no longer having to change diapers for the rest of your life. I just got a pay raise. I don't have to change diapers anymore. And so I'm like, come on, buddy, you can keep doing it. But it was an amazing experience because that moment was filled with so many learning lessons for me as a father, but my son. And so when he decided, hey, we're going to do this, we're going to try this, it was because of a lot of chocolate that I bribed him with. And but how many of you know, parents, sometimes you just got to do whatever it takes. And so we offered him some chocolate. And so he tried this thing out. And sure enough, he went on the big boy potty. And he was so excited. In fact, he leaped off of it. And he started yelling, I did it, I did it, I did it, I did it. Daddy, I did it, I did it, I did it. And then all of a sudden, his little world just paused. And he looked at me with those great big eyes. And he just waited. Like, Dad, did you see this? Are you proud of me? Like, wow, can I have some more chocolate? And I looked at him in that moment and I said, son, I'm so proud of you. You did it. And immediately he leapt into my arms and hugged me and said, I did it, I did it, I did it, I did it. And it was such an amazing moment. And as parents, maybe you've had moments like that. And it was in this moment that I realized a really important truth about parenting. That our kids, man, they so desperately need the approval and the affirmation and the spoken blessings of a mother and a father. And the reality is that all of us are kind of wired this way, that we are wired to need approval and blessing and affirmation and somebody to say, you did a good job. And it doesn't really go away. All the parents in the room, you get this, right? If you've been to the pool, even non-parents get this. If you've been to the pool this summer, you have seen the child that stands at the edge of the pool screaming, Mommy, Mommy, Daddy, Daddy, look it. All right? And then they proceed to jump off into the pool and then get up with these big wide eyes like, did anyone see me? That was so awesome. And then you hear the dad in the corner saying, good job, son. And then he proceeds to do it 199 more times. And so isn't the truth, though, that while that seems cute with kids and we can kind of shake our head and laugh at that, isn't the truth that we never really grow out of that? That even as adults, we really never leave this feeling, this place in which that we still desire affirmation and approval and spoken blessing and encouragement, especially when it comes from our parents. Now, here's what's interesting. About 30 years ago, there was a family counselor by the name of John Trent. And as he studied hundreds, maybe even thousands of families, he came up with this one conclusion. I think this is so powerful in light of what we're speaking about today. And here's what he came up with, this conclusion. That no matter what your age is, so no matter what age or stage of life you're in today, the approval of your parents it really affects how you view yourself and your ability to pass on that approval to your children, your spouse, and your friends. He goes on to say this. He said, this is so vital. It is vital to your self-esteem and your emotional well-being. See, here's why this is so vital, and here's why this is so very important. See, what John Trent understood in this moment is that some children grow up receiving this type of blessing, this blessing of approval and spoken word, but many children, they don't. They don't receive this type of blessing. In fact, maybe you're in here today and this was not a blessing that you really ever received from your earthly parents. In fact, maybe for you, you heard things like, I'm so disappointed in you. And you heard that as a teenager, and now, 65 years later, you're still living in that moment that took place when you were a teenager. Or maybe it was a teacher that looked at you and said, you failed again. And that has defined you, and you're in your 30s, and you're bouncing from job to job to job to job, and you just feel like a failure. Or maybe you were the little boy that waited at the baseball field longing to see if your dad would show up, and he never showed up. Or maybe you heard things like, you'll never be like your sister. Or why can't you just be like your brother? Or maybe your parents said things like, you're never going to own that business. That's just not what we do in our family. You're never going to be able to complete college. Nobody's ever done that before. Or maybe you grew up and while your parents were relationally there and physically there, emotionally they weren't. And you grew up just hearing nothing. You grew up hearing silence. And here's the thing about that. And when that's the type of blessing that you receive growing up, or really the lack of blessing that you received, you know what happens? For so many of us, we spend our lives doing this. Trying to prove something. You know, for many people in our culture, in our world, this is so true. We can spend our lives and our wheels just turning and turning, trying to prove something to someone. Maybe it's a dad, maybe it's a coach, maybe it's a mother, a friend, a coworker. And this is exhausting, right? I mean, living from this place is exhausting. And here's the thing. All of us, if you really think about it, this is true of us. And you may say things like, you know what? I don't really care what other people think about me. I don't really care if people like me, don't like me, approve of me. But inside of us, you know what I know? That God has hardwired us for this type of affection and approval. And for the men in the room, maybe this is really hard, right? And you hear something like this and you think, hey, just kind of get over yourself. Like, so somebody didn't love you. So somebody didn't bless you in that way. So you have daddy problems. Get over yourself. I wish it were that simple. I wish it were that easy. See, oftentimes when that's the way we live, you know what happens? We end up suppressing those things. And what I found in my own life and what I found in the lives of so many other people that I've talked to, as you suppress the pains of the past and those things, you know what eventually happens? They come out somewhere. They come out in your relationships, they come out on your job, they come out in your friendships, and you just live your life from this endless cycle of just trying to prove something to someone. And God never intended us to live that way. He never intended us to live from this place of striving. See, what happens when you live your life from this place, then it's all about, you know, this is actually why for so many people, it's why they'll drive the cars they drive. They'll work the hours they work. I'm going to work like 9 to 9 because I've got to prove myself to my father. I got to prove myself to that teacher that told me you'll never make it. You'll never cut it. I've got to prove myself to someone.
And so the car they drive, the houses they live in, the clothes they wear, like if I have these shoes and this status symbol, then I'm proving myself to someone. And this is so exhausting, and it's just a miracle round of on and off and proving ourselves. And God never intended us to live that way. And so here's what I want to do today, and here's what I want to speak to today. If that is the reality for some of us, and here's what I also know for maybe many of you in this room, that's not your reality. You lived your life getting amazing blessings from your parents. And I would say to you, if that's you in this room, then you have a stewardship responsibility now to pass that on to the next generation. And to all the parents that are in the room today, we have an opportunity to pass these type of blessings on to our children. So they grow up receiving this type of blessing, and so they're not constantly just trying to prove themselves. And so if that is you today, though, however, that you never received a blessing like this, there's good news. It's not your fault, and it can change. In fact, today, I believe that our Heavenly Father has a blessing for you, that if you're willing to receive it, it can change everything. And so if you've never received this type of blessing from your earthly mother and father, our Heavenly Father today has this blessing available to us. And so what I want to do is I want to look at Matthew chapter 3. And in this story, we see Jesus showing up on the scene. He's about to begin his public ministry. And right before he goes public with his ministry, he would choose the disciples. He would start healing people. He would do all that which he came to do. We see the Father give Jesus an incredible blessing. And it is so good. It's so amazing what happens in this moment. And here's what I would say. That not only was it a blessing for Jesus to receive on that day, but it's a blessing for us to receive on this day. And it's also an incredible model. Parents, it's an incredible model of how we can bless our children. And so let me show you this blessing today. And it's found in Matthew chapter 3. And let me just kind of set it up real quick. Jesus is about to begin his public ministry, and he actually goes to John the Baptist and he says, "Hey, I need you to baptize me." And so John's like, "It should be you that's baptizing me, but let's do this." And he's baptized, and at that moment, the windows of heaven open up and the Spirit descends on Jesus as a dove. And this is what the voice of God blesses his son Jesus with. It says, "And a voice from heaven said, 'This is my son whom I love, and with him I am well pleased.'" And so what an amazing blessing Jesus gets in this moment. And it's this blessing that I hope to unpack for you, because this is the same blessing that our Heavenly Father has for us today. Three parts to this blessing that I think are so amazing. And the first thing, if you're taking notes, is this. The first blessing is the blessing of identity. The blessing of identity. "And a voice from heaven said, 'This is my son.'" Now, what you have to know about this moment and kind of the scene is here Jesus is, and he's getting baptized, and they're, you know, maybe hundreds or thousands of people around that are watching this take place. Many of them would know Jesus, and they would know kind of who he was till that point. He was in the natural, a son of Joseph. And so as people experienced Jesus, they experienced him as Joseph's son. And so in this moment, this would change everything, because now there was this blessing from the Father that was not just going down to the Son, but was really being spoken to everyone that would hear that voice today, as a voice from heaven spoke, "This is my Son." And people would have known what that meant. It would have known that He was the one that was spoken about for generations to come. This would be the one that would fulfill the promise. This would be the one that would save their people from their sins. And a voice from heaven came down and said, "This is my son." Like, Joseph may have brought him up, but I am the one that begot him. This is my son. This is he. That's my boy, Southern International Version. Look at him. And so as everybody stood around that day, it would be huge as people ultimately would receive really the awakening of knowing that the time had come. The time had come for God to fulfill what God had put in place from the very beginning to fulfill. And so what does that mean to us? Well, I believe that our Heavenly Father also wants us to receive that same kind of blessing today. The blessing of knowing who we are. The blessing of identity. See, here's the thing, especially parents, why this is so important to pass this blessing on to our children. Because if you don't define your children's identity, the world will define it for you. And I can just promise you, you do not want the world defining your children's identity. That was good. Some of you, yes, should clap on that. You do not want the world to define your children's identity, but you need to be the one to define that. And so in this moment, our Heavenly Father is saying, this is my son. And he wants us to know that about ourselves as well. And I know we kind of naturally, maybe we've heard that yeah, we're kind of sons and daughters. But for many of us, I think if we're not careful, we'll just kind of glaze past what that truly means. I want to show you this because I think it's so amazing. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 5, as we just kind of build this case for us as sons and daughters, it says that God has predestined. In other words, from the very beginning of time, this was his plan. He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ. In other words, this is why Jesus came. That God gave us his only son, his only begotten son. Why? To restore relationship, to restore family. And so he predestined us for adoption, and this was all in accordance to his plan and his purpose. Now, one of the things you have to understand about this word son here, this adoption to sonship, is as we look at Matthew chapter 3 and we see what Jesus is saying, or our Heavenly Father is saying in this moment to Jesus, that this is my son. When you look that little word up, son, in the Greek, and you look up the definition, here's what it says. It means son by natural birth or by adoption. And when you look up this little word right here, sonship, it's the same word. In other words, God's plan from the beginning of time was for you to understand your relationship with our Heavenly Father is the same in which our Savior Jesus' relationship was. That's how he views you. He views you as a son or daughter the same as he viewed Jesus. And so that's why he came. Jesus, in John 1:12, it says this about Jesus. All those that receive him and believe on his name, he gives us the right to become children. How amazing is that? Galatians goes on to say this, when the time had fully come, God sent his son to be born of a woman, to be born under the law, to redeem those that might be under the law, so that we might receive adoption to sonship. And here would be the fruit of that in understanding that identity. The fruit would be this, that because you are his sons, then with that, God sends his spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit that calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And what does that mean? Since you are his child, you are also made an heir. That when we receive Jesus, we receive our identity as his sons and daughters. The spirit of the son is put into us that allows us to view God properly as Abba, Father. That word Abba simply means in the Greek, daddy. How amazing is that to think? You know, one of my most favorite things in the world is when my little boy comes running to the front door when I come in and starts yelling, daddy, 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 daddy's home. Daddy, daddy, daddy. And in this moment, it's just such a beautiful picture of our relationship. And your heavenly Father longs for you to see that. He longs for you to identify with that. He longs for you to be able to look up at him and know he's so much more than just a genie in a bottle. He's so much more than just kind of a get out of hell pass. He's so much more than that, but he's your dad. He's your father. And when you view him that way, it unlocks so many other blessings in your life. In fact, the blessings that God has for you, I believe, are fully unlocked when you understand who you are in Christ, when you understand that you are an heir, you are a son. And so this is the invitation that Jesus gives us. He offers us an invitation to not simply be forgiven, but to be adopted into the family of God. And so when you get this blessing of identity, guess what? It unlocks the future blessings that are to come. This is so important for you to understand this to truly receive the next two blessings that I want to talk about. And the next blessing is this. It's the blessing of love. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my son whom I love." The blessing of love. You know, I love this because you know, depending on how you grew up, depending on what your home was like, maybe your kind of view of love is distorted a little bit because you only understand, you know, love by the filter of which your earthly mother and father gave to you. And for some of you, it was kind of absent. Or maybe for others of you, you kind of understand the love of God through the eyes of religion. And so the eyes of religion has said, you know, said this actually about you. This is what religion will say when it comes to the love of God. It'll cause you to think this: the better I am, the more God loves me. The better you are, the more God loves you. And man, this is such a trick of the enemy. This is such a thing that if it gets a hold of you, it'll cause you to miss out on so much that God has for you. Here's what this will make you do. It'll make you live your life on this merry-go-round that thinks this. Like when I'm good and I go to work and I'm on 95 and I don't flip anybody off on the way and I love my wife and I pray before every meal and I read my Bible every day of the week, God loves me. But when I make a mistake and I cut somebody off and I didn't love my spouse well that day and I yelled at my child and then that kind of addiction kind of popped back up in my life, God doesn't love me. And so when I have a good day, God loves me. When I have a bad day, God doesn't. And so I have to do these things again to make God love me. And it's just like, it's just a roller coaster of emotions. And that's not how God loves you. He doesn't just love you when you're here on Sunday and then Friday rolls around and he's like, "I don't love you because of what you did." No. You know what you have to understand about the love of God? He can't help it. He just loves you, period. And your behavior doesn't shape or determine God's love for you. It doesn't. He loves you, period. You know, when I first started dating my wife, Jennifer, and we got to that point in our relationship where I was gonna like drop the three, you know, the kind of three word phrase there, "I love you." It was a big moment. And as I thought about that, I could think of all the reasons why I loved her, right? Like, "I love you because of how you make me feel. I love you because you think I'm handsome. I love you because you're hot. I love you because I enjoy going on dates with you and we enjoy the same things." And it was, "I love you because dot, dot, dot." And sometimes that's how we view God. But then this amazing thing happened that opened my eyes to something. After about 50 hours of my wife being in labor, this little miracle popped out named Samuel. And I picked him up and I held him in my arms. And he had done nothing. And I looked at him. And I couldn't help it. I love you. I just loved him. Not because he was a good boy or a bad boy. I mean, if I knew how bad he was going to be. I got a good son whom I love. And in that moment, I just love you. And for you today, one of the greatest blessings you could receive in your life is knowing when God looks at you, he loves you, period. Whether you do right or whether you mess up, he just loves you. End of story. He can't help himself. Why? Because you're his son. You're his daughter. See, you understand now why it's so important to understand your identity? Because when you view yourself as a son or a daughter, then you can receive this kind of love. And so God has that for you, and I want you to experience that kind of love. Because you know what? When you experience that kind of love, you know what you get to do? Fulfill the great commission to love God and then love others. And to go into all the world and spread the good news of Jesus. And so when you experience that kind of love, then you can love that kind of way. And it's one of the greatest gifts you can pass on to other people in your life. The third blessing is this. It's the blessing of affirmation. He said, "This is my son whom I love, and with him I'm well pleased." It's the blessing of affirmation. And this is the third part of the blessing we see. You know, I love this because here in this moment, we see our Heavenly Father validating Jesus and giving him this blessing of affirmation. And this is so huge because I want to get this right, but what's interesting is when God says this, in this moment of time to Jesus, no miracles has happened. No sermons have been preached. No disciples have been chosen. That which he had came to do had yet to be fulfilled, the cross. And his heavenly Father looked at him and said, "I'm well pleased with you. Not because of your behavior, not because of what you've done, because of your character, the potential that's inside of you. As a dad, I see it. And I just want you to know, before you do everything that you came to accomplish, I'm proud of you. I'm pleased with you." Mothers, fathers, what an incredible model of what we can pass on to our children. In other words, our Heavenly Father was saying, you don't have to strive for a blessing. But you can start living from the blessing. In fact, I love what Larry Stockstill says about affirmation, a pastor in Louisiana. He says this. He said, "Affirmation is the point in time when somebody becomes convinced they can change the world." And your Heavenly Father wants you to become convinced that you can change the world. That's why he put you on this planet, to make a difference. And so this is so huge. And so he looks down and he says, "I'm pleased with you. I'm pleased with you." And I don't know how you feel today. Maybe there's a voice in your head that's been telling you you're not good enough. Maybe there's a voice in your head that's saying things like, "You'll never be a good enough mother. You'll never be a good enough husband. You'll never be a good enough boss or leader. You'll never be a good enough person." And here's the blessing that I want you to receive today. But our Heavenly Father says, you're good enough. I'm pleased with you. I affirm you. You're good enough. And this blessing was so important for Jesus to receive. Immediately after this story in Matthew chapter 3, we go to Matthew chapter 4, and before he goes and does any miracles or picks his disciples, this blessing is tested. I mean, literally, the very next thing that we see happen is the blessing that Jesus receives is tested. He goes out into the wilderness. He spends 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness, and Satan shows up. And he tries to test that which he forfeited. And so because he can't experience it, he doesn't want anybody else to as well. And so here Jesus is, 40 days, 40 nights in the wilderness. And he's there, and Satan comes to him and he says this. He says, if you're the Son of God, if you're really the Son of God, will you tell these stones, I know you're hungry, to become bread? And I love what Jesus answers, because he says, it is written that man shall not live on bread alone, but every word. Oh, that's every word. That's so good. Because what was the word that he had just received from the Father? He said, every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And the last spoken word, he's alone 40 days, 40 nights. He was led immediately into the wilderness. You know the last spoken word Jesus had heard? You are my son. And here the enemy is. He's trying to tempt him. If you are the Son of God, and he's looking there saying, hey, yes, I am. I know who I am. I know whose I am. I am the Son of God. And so I do not have to do that, but I can live by every word spoken by the mouth of God. And God is saying to you today, you are his. You are who he says you are. You are a son of God. You are a daughter of God. Don't let the enemy try to tempt you. Don't let the enemy try to lie to you. Don't let the enemy try to rob your blessing. And then, he thinks he's so crafty. He takes him up to a high point and he says, cast yourself down from here, throw yourself off this cliff, and see if God loves you enough to send his angels to catch you when you fall, or before you fall. And Jesus again looks at him and he says, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. In other words, I don't have to test God's love for me. It's not about what I do or don't do, because my Heavenly Father just told me he loves me, period. And so the enemy's been trying to rob these blessings from day one. And then he takes them to a high point, and this would be kind of his final attack. And he shows them the kingdoms of the world. He shows them the kingdoms of the world and all of their splendor. And he says, if you bow down to me, if you'll prove your worth to me, I'll affirm you and I'll give you everything you came for. And in that moment, it was so huge, because the enemy tried to have this final blow. And it was a real crafty temptation that he brought Jesus' way, because he knew this was the thing that Jesus came to reclaim. I mean, okay, you're a son, you're loved, but this was the mission, to reclaim the world back, to restore this sonship and blessing. Jesus said, no,
I don't have to prove myself to you. And here's what our Heavenly Father is saying to you today. You don't have to prove yourself. You don't have to spend your life proving yourself to anyone. You don't have to prove your worth. Your Heavenly Father loves you. You're a son. You're a daughter. And don't listen to the lies of the enemy that says that he can offer you something that God wants to give you. Look, it is just a cheap counterfeit. Jesus said, I don't have to prove myself to you, Satan, because he's already given me everything. The Bible says in him, all things were made. In him, all things were by him and for him. And Satan, you don't have to offer me some cheap counterfeit because God has given me everything because I am his son. I am his daughter. And let me just tell you this. Do not listen to the lies of the enemy that will offer you some cheap counterfeit when our Heavenly Father is saying, I will give you everything you need because you are an heir. You are my chosen people. First Peter says this, you are chosen. You're a royal priest. You're a holy nation. You're God's special possessions. And so God loves you. God affirms you. You're a son. You're a daughter. And that is the blessing he has for you. And this blessing, it can change everything. And that blessing would change everything that day. And it's a blessing that our Heavenly Father has for you today, that if you'll receive it, you don't have to strive anymore. But as a pastor in Oklahoma says, you can now begin to stride. And so what would it look like if you didn't have to spend your life striving, but striding from the blessing? Your steps may be a little lighter. The days may be a little easier as you know that your Heavenly Father is on your side and he's proud of you and he loves you and he's for you. He's not against you. And so I'm going to ask that everyone would stand. And I want to give you an opportunity to receive a blessing today. And so to all the ladies in the room today, let me speak to you first. To all the ladies in the room today that you feel like you'll never be enough. You've struggled with your identity. It's caused you to dress a certain way and look a certain way and try to prove yourself to men in your life or other people, or prove yourself to your mother. You feel like you're a bad mother. You feel like you're a bad spouse. You feel like you just can't get it right. Here's the blessing that I believe our Heavenly Father has for you today. And here's what I want you to receive him saying to you today. Would you hold out your hands, actually? Would you receive this gift that he has for you today? To all the women in the room, he says this, you are his daughter. May you hear the voice of heaven say, this is my daughter whom I love. He loves you and he's well pleased with you. You no longer have to strive, but you can live from that blessing. To all the men in the room, that you feel like you've just been kind of pushing and pushing and burning the candle at both ends and working 9 to 11, trying to prove something to someone, trying to prove your worth, trying to prove to everybody around you that the cars you drive and the people that you interact with, they need to know you've kind of made it. You've spent hours in the gym trying to get people to look at you and say, you're big, you're strong, you're awesome. To the men that feel like you'll never be a good enough husband, you'll never be a good enough father, would you hold your hands out, men in the room, and would you receive this blessing as our Heavenly Father is saying to you today, this is my son whom I love and I'm well pleased with you. Men, he loves you. He's pleased with you. You no longer have to strive,
but you can start living from the blessing.